Justice Breyer has our opinion in case 1743, Da versus United States.
Federal law permits the government to obtain a wiretap, allowing it to intercept certain crime-related information. Now, the wiretap statute lists a host of requirements that the government has to fulfill, including showing probable cause and various others. And it gives a defendant who's later indicted the right to suppress wiretap information if, one, and there are three clauses, the relevant communication, quote, was unlawfully intercepted, or, two, the order, the judge's order that authorized the wiretap was, quote, insufficient on its face, or, three, the interception wasn't made in conformity with that order that the judge issued. Now, we here consider the second of these provisions, whether the wiretap orders that were issued in this case were, quote, insufficient on their face. Now, these particular orders did have a problem. The statute says that the wiretaps have to take place in the jurisdiction of the judge who issues the orders. And these orders were issued by a judge who was in Kansas. Now, all the taps did take place within the jurisdiction of Kansas, either because the phones were in Kansas or because the listening post was in Kansas, but there was one exception. That exception authorized, said in the order, a tap from another place, and it turned out to be Missouri, which was placed on a phone in California. Now, the sentence in the orders did authorize that tap. But the parties here agree, and they agree, that the sentence, that sentence in the order authorizing that Missouri-California tap was not lawful because it purported to authorize a tap outside the jurisdiction of Kansas. Now, the defendants here argue that the sentence in the orders, since it was an illegal phrase there, made the orders insufficient. That's the issue. Well, we disagree with the defendants on this one. We agree with the government. The Tenth Circuit did disagree as well. And it did so for a reason. It's pretty complicated. And we didn't think it was persuasive. And if you want to know why we think it isn't persuasive and the complication of the order, you should read the opinion. But our disagreement with the defendants rests instead upon one fact and one piece of logic. The fact is this. None of the information obtained from that unlawful Missouri-California wiretap was introduced at the defendant's trial. The logic is this. If we just took the sentence out of the orders would still be perfectly sufficient. They are not deficient without that sentence. They are not lacking in anything necessary or requisite, and therefore they don't fall within that second sentence. Now, read as we read them, I add, the statute's three suppression provisions fit together. They provide a workable roadmap for those who think that they have been aggrieved by a wiretap. Where the government's use of a wiretap is unconstitutional or violates a statutory provision that reflects Congress's core concerns in enacting the wiretap statute, an aggrieved person may suppress improperly acquired evidence under the first subparagraph because the communication was unlawfully intercepted. Where an order lacks information that the wiretap statute requires it to include, an aggrieved person can suppress the fruits of the order under the second subparagraph because the order was insufficient on its face. And where the government fails to comply with the conditions set forth in an authorizing order, an aggrieved person can suppress its fruits under the third subparagraph because the interception was not made in conformity with the order of authorization or approval. We explain all this and even more in our opinion. For now, it suffices to say the defendants were not entitled to suppression under the second suppression provision because the orders were not facially insufficient. For that reason, we affirm the judgments of the courts of appeals. Justice Gorsuch took no part in the consideration or decision of this case.